أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم زدنا علما نافعا وفقها في الدين، اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. ربنا تقبل منا ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Amma ba'd. Inshallah, today will be the first in a series of classes on the tafsir of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And we are going to begin with a verse from Surah Baqarah, ayah number 102 from Surah Baqarah. And this ayah is the verse that discusses the story behind the Malakain Harut and Marut. I'll first start out by reading the ayah, and then inshallah we'll talk about the meanings in the tafsir of the ayah bi-ithnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla thana'hu, he says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون. Allah Most High, He discusses in this ayah the sihr that was practiced in the town of Babel, in a town called Babel, and He sent two angels to that town. Before we go into the tafsir of the ayah, I'd like to start out by defining the word sihr according to the ulama. The ulama, they say sihr is anything that has a hidden effect. The word sihr is something that has a hidden effect, or something whose reason or cause is unknown, or is hidden to the eyes of the people. And according to the ulama, they ask the question, is sihr magic? Is it something real or is it something imaginary? Something that is imagined, or does it have a real effect? Does it have a real effect on people, on creation? And the jumhur of the ulama, the majority of the scholars, they state that sihr has a reality. That sihr is real and it affects the mind and the body of people. And the sahir, he takes help from the shayateen through praising them or through taking their help through various types of ibadah. And because of this, the jumhur of the ulama, the majority of the scholars, they say that practicing sihr is kufr. It's a kufr that takes a person outside of Islam. However, there were some ulama, some from the Ahl Sunnah and some also from the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila were the rationalists. They were a group of people who were affected by Greek philosophy and they believed in rationalism. And also there are some from Ahl Sunnah, for example, Abu Bakr al-Razi from the Hanafiya and some of the Shafi'iyya. They had a different opinion. They said that sihr, it does not have a real, it's not have a reality. Rather, it's just an illusion and it's a type of trickery that the magicians use to trick people and affect them psychologically. Of course, this is the minority view. This is not what the majority of the ulama say. But this is what some of the scholars in the Shafi'i school and some of them in the Hanafi school, and also Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, he was of the opinion that sihr, it does not have a reality, but rather it's a type of trickery that affects people. And according to this second opinion, they state that the sihr actually has three different types. The first is a simple illusion, illusion that the magician makes, like an optical illusion, like pulling bird out of his sleeve and making it look like it came out of his hand. So this is just simply a trick of the eye, a slip of the eye or a slip of the hand, and it doesn't have any reality or any help from the unseen world. And they say that this was the type of magic that the magicians of Fir'aun had. The magicians of Fir'aun, they didn't have actual power to do anything, but rather what they did is they took tubes or sleeves and they filled them with mercury. And mercury, as you know, when it gets heated up, it becomes liquid. So they took these sleeves, and this is what the Mufassirin they mentioned, they buried some fire under the earth in tunnels or something hot under the earth. And so when they took these tubes filled with mercury, they were hard, they were like sticks, they threw them on the ground, and when they became hot, they became like water inside, and they started moving around. So they tricked the eyes of the people. And the people thought that they really had the power to make these staffs into snakes. So that they really didn't have that power to really cause a staff to become a snake. Like Musa alayhi salam, Allah caused him to have the mu'ajizat. And we'll talk about the difference between sihr and the mu'ajizat in a moment. Also, the second type, according to the second group of ulama, the second type of sihr is the one that is done using careful planning. Coming up with a plan to kind of to trick the people. And there was somebody, his name was Al-Hallaj, and they said that his magic was actually, he did this through hidden planning. What he would do is he would have some people go in the woods and he would have them bury some food there, some drink and some food, and bury it under an area or a tree. Then he would walk there with his followers, and then he would say, I'm going to make food come out of the ground. And then he would point at the place and tell them to dig there, and they would find the food there. And they would think that he did a miracle. So this is another type of sihr that some of the ulama, they said, it was just comes up, if they do it by planning and by trickery, and it doesn't have any reality or any help from the unseen. And the third type of trickery that this group said is, the third type of sihr is a type where it's through words. And the Prophet ﷺ affirmed this type of sihr. He said, "Inna min al-bayani la sihra." Some people, with their eloquence, they can affect the minds of people, and they can affect and cause. You can separate between a husband and a wife by using these psychological tricks, using wording. And they give an example of somebody who did this. This is mentioned by the Mufassirin. They say that a woman. A man, he married a second wife. And so the first wife, she became jealous, and she tried to think of a way to create dissension between the man and his second wife. So she told his new wife, she said that if you take a knife or a razor and you trim your husband's beard at night, he'll be very happy. And then the same woman, she told her husband, your new wife, she wants to kill you. She wants to kill you, she's going to wait till you go to sleep, and then she's going to take a knife or a razor and try to kill you. So sure enough, the man, when he went to bed at night, the wife came and she thought, oh, my husband's going to love me if I trim his beard. She took the razor out, and he was awake. And he jumps at her, and he says, what are you doing? You're trying to kill me? And as the story goes, it led to a great fitna. So this type of language, you know, it's just words, but it can create great dissension between the husband and the wife. It can create great harm. Of course, this is something very wrong and evil to do. So in any case, the second madhab, or the second group of ulama, they say that magic or sihr doesn't have any physical reality, but it's more, it has a mental reality. This is what their opinion was. And Abu Bakr al-Razi, he's one of the Hanafiya who said that magic doesn't have a reality. He said that if these magicians and fortune tellers, if they could really know the unseen, then they would all become rich. They would become the kings. And they would have all the wealth, because they would know where all the hidden wealth is, and they would know how to do business. And they would be kings and rich people. But why are they, you know, meeting with people and charging them money to try to make some money, you know, from poor people and from ignorant people? They wouldn't have to do that. They would easily, through their knowledge of the unseen, they could become kings. They wouldn't have to have places where people come and pay them money to tell them their fortune. So this is the argument that Abu Bakr al-Razi said. Now, the scholars, they say, what is the difference between sihr and mu'ajiza? As you know, the anbiya, Allah gave them mu'ajizat, which are things, were miracles that were a challenge for their people to prove that they were true messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they were able to challenge people to come with something like what they had. So the Prophet ﷺ, he came with the Qur'an, and he challenged the mushrikeen to come with a verse like it, or a surah like it. This is called tahaddi, and they couldn't come with one like it. So what is the difference between the mu'ajiza and the sihr, and the magician, the trick of the magician? Scholars, they say that the mu'ajiza, the more you study it, and the more you reflect on it, the more you become convinced of its truth. The more you ponder over the verses of the Qur'an, and its i'jaz, its balagha, its eloquence, and its knowledge, and its perfection of its concise and perfect in all of its balagha, this is a very big science in Arabic, the more you become convinced that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody studies the Qur'an in more detail and says, no, this isn't from Allah. Actually, all the wrong ideas that he has about the Qur'an, they go away when they study the mu'ajizat. And this is the same with all the mu'ajizat of the anbiya. The more you study them, the more you reflect on them, the more you realize that they're haq, that they're truth. Now what about magic? The magic that people do, the more you study them, and the more you look into them, the illusions and the things that impress the people, they do tricks and illusion shows and things like that. These people, and even the fortune tellers, the more you look into what they say, the more you realize that they're liars, and they're telling untruth. Some fortune tellers will say, something good will happen to you today. But something good happens to somebody every day. So when you look into his words, you realize that he was just playing a trick on you. And if he says something bad will happen to you today, usually in your day you have some good things and some bad things happening. But because of the psychology and because of his trickery, the person is affected by that. So when we look into the magician's magic or the sihr, we realize that this is not haq. This is just falsehood. This is batin. Now the question of what happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Jewish woman who placed some sihr on the Prophet ﷺ, and he was affected by that. She put a comb and did some type of sihr and placed it in a well, as you're familiar with in the narration on the Prophet ﷺ. Some people would say, is this proof that the Prophet wasn't a real Nabi? Because a real Nabi, maybe the magic wouldn't affect him. This is how they would think. But actually, if we look into the story, we realize that this what happened to the Prophet is a proof of his Nabuwa. Because when he was affected by these words of this Jewish woman who did this magic, Jibreel came to him and revealed to him that a woman had affected him with this magic. And he revealed the place where she had done that spell. And he told the Sahaba to go to that place, and they found it exactly as Jibreel had said. And that in the Prophet ﷺ, he was cured from that magic. So this shows that the Prophet ﷺ was human, but he was also a Nabi, that Allah protected him from the sihr. And this is the real lesson that we learn from what happened to the Prophet ﷺ. Also, when we look at the verse, let's go to the verses now, inshallah, and talk about a little bit of the tafsir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. وَاتَّبَعُوا, who are the people here? Allah is saying they followed what the shaitan said about the kingdom of Sulaiman. They followed what the shayateen said about the kingdom of Sulaiman. The shayateen, what they said is that Sulaiman was a magician. And they said that he controlled the jinn using magic, not by the command of Allah, but this is what they had said. So who followed this statement, this lie that was said about Sulaiman? These were the people of the Bani Israel, the Jewish people. And some scholars, they say it was the Jewish people. At the time of Harut and Marut, at the time of Sulaiman, the Bani Israel, some of them say the verse is referring to the Jewish people in Medina at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Because they said that Sulaiman was not a prophet. And that's what their belief was, that Sulaiman was not a prophet, but rather he used magic. So Allah is saying, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. They, the Jewish people, they followed what the shaitans, the lies had spread about Sulaiman, that he wasn't a true prophet. And the shayateen here are the shayateen of ins wal jinn. There's people who spread these lies, and they're shayateen. They're shayateen from people, and they're shayateen from the jinn. So they say that Sulaiman was not a prophet, and these Jewish people, they follow them in that belief. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. But Allah, He exonerates Sulaiman from this lie. Sulaiman, he did not practice magic. He did not give ta'zeem to the shayateen to make them obey him. He did not commit kufr. Allah says, exonerating him. لكن الشياطين كفروا. But the shayateen, these people who spread these lies about Sulaiman, they're the ones who committed kufr. How did they commit kufr? By denying the nabuwa of Sulaiman alayhi salam. When they denied the nabuwa of Sulaiman, they committed kufr by saying that he was using the magic and that he wasn't a true prophet. And then Allah says about the shayateen, يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. The shayateen, they were teaching people the magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And these shayateen, they taught people magic and what was revealed to the two angels in the town of Babel, Harut and Marut. Now this is a very important verse to, we have to look at the Mufassirin to see what they said about it. There was two angels that were sent to a town called Babylon or Babel. Their names were Harut and Marut. And Allah sent these angels to these people, and they showed them, they taught them about magic. But why did they teach them about this magic? We have to look into the story of those people to understand why. These people in the town of Babel, they were following a religion where they used to worship the stars. And they used to think that the stars controlled their destiny. And they used to go to the people who studied the stars in order to learn about their destiny. And they thought that these people, these stars, had control over them. So Allah sent these two angels to those people to show them magic in order that they may stay away from it. This is what the ulama, they say that these angels, Harut and Marut, they came to show the people what the how magic was used to affect or to misguide the people, and so that they could recognize evil and stay away from it. And the scholars, they say, learning about evil to stay away from it is something good. Learning about evil, not to use it, but to stay away from it, is something good. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, somebody said that Fulan, this person, he doesn't know what evil is. So Umar, he said, it's more likely he's going to fall into it. If a person, he doesn't know the traps of the shaitan, it's more easy for him to fall into it. So the people in Babylon, they believed that the stars, they had control over their destiny, and so they would go to the fortune tellers who would look into the stars and try to tell them about their future. And this is a great type of kufr. Somebody who does this, who goes to astrologer, who tries to tell them their destiny, this is a type of kufr from three angles. First of all, by calling these stars, they would call them the names of gods. They would say that this is the name of this constellation is some name, and they would consider it a type of gods that would control their destiny. So this is obviously a type of kufr. Also, they would worship these stars. They would do acts of worship to them. And so this is a type of kufr. Also, they believe that the stars could harm and benefit. And we know that in Islam, we believe that the only thing that can harm and benefit is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No object, no creation, not even the black stone, as Umar he said, I know that you cannot harm me or benefit me, but I kiss you because the Prophet kissed you. So we have, this is a correct aqidah of a believer, of a Muslim, that the stars, they cannot harm and they cannot benefit. That horoscope, it cannot harm you or benefit you. Also, they disbelieved by believing that the fortune tellers could do miracles. They would go to these fortune tellers and ask them to perform miracles for them. And this is also a type of kufr, because the miracles are for the anbiya and for the righteous people. Karamat are for those who are righteous. Allah causes miracles to happen on the hands of the anbiya alone. So Allah sent the angels, Harut and Marut, to the people of Babylon to teach them what magic was so they could stay away from it. And Allah says, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ This is the two angels now speaking. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ They said that we are, what we're teaching you, this is a fitna, so do not disbelieve by practicing it. Do not, they warned them when they were teaching them that this thing is a fitna. If you use it, it will become kufr. So they warned them not to commit kufr. And we see that the poet, he said, عَرِفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ I knew evil, or I came to learn about evil, not so I could become evil, but so that I could stay away from it. تَوَقِّيهِ, to stay away from something. تَقْوَى, is to stay away from what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَوَقِّيهِ. And then he says, وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ يَقَعَ فِيهِ And whoever does not know what evil is, the evil things that the shaitan does, then, for example, they don't know that going to a fortune teller is evil, then they're more likely to fall in it. يَقَعَ فِيهِ So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these angels, and then Allah says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ And then they taught them how the namima, the spreading the slander between the husband and the wife, is a means of dividing between the husband and the wife. So these angels, they told them how, so that the people would know that this was a trick of the shaitan, to use words to divide between a husband and a wife. But then Allah says, and this is a very important verse, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ But they could not harm anybody with this magic except by the permission of Allah. So the magician, he cannot harm anybody except by the permission of Allah. Hassan al-Basri, he said, the grandchild of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allah prevents magic so that it cannot harm somebody, unless he leaves the magic so that it cannot harm them. So the magic cannot affect anybody if Allah prevents it from harming them. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ So nobody can be harmed by type of magic except by the permission or by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ And so Allah says that those people who followed this magic, they will not have any benefit in the Akhirah. And this refers specifically to the Yahud who took the magic in place of the Book of Allah. They used the magic, instead of believing in the Book of Allah, they believed in the magic and they followed the magic. Okay, so this brings us to the end of the ayah. And now let's look at a few of the rulings, inshallah, before we finish, inshallah. The first ruling that we derive from this ayah is that magic or sihr is a type of kufr. And this is the opinion that Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik, this is what they follow. They said that any type of sihr, anybody who uses sihr, they've become a kafir, they've left Islam. Somebody that uses kufr. Imam Shafi'i, he was of a different opinion. He said that the sihr is a sin. It's something that's sinful, but we have to look at the type of sihr. We have to look at what they use the sihr for. If they use it by giving respect to the shayateen and worshipping the shayateen, then this is kufr. Otherwise, it's a sin. And if they don't use it to magnify Allah, then it's something very sinful. But the stronger opinion in the majority of the ulama, the jumhur of the ulama, is that sihr is a type of kufr. Because the sahir, he thinks he's like a nabi, like a prophet, and that he can perform miracles. So this is the stronger opinion, and this is supported by the verse, because they said, فَلَا تَكْفُرُ The Harut and Marut, they said, do not disbelieve by practicing sihr. Also, we learn from this hadith that one cannot use magic for good. One cannot say, I'm going to use sihr to remove sihr. Scholars say that's not allowed to use sihr because the sihr is evil in itself. Allah calls it darreen. It's a harmful thing. So the وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا And Allah says, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى In Surah Taha, and the magician will never be successful wherever he comes from. So this is a general ayah. It says any sahir, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Wherever he came from, he will not be successful. So if a magician, he says, I'll use the magic to cure people or to do benefit, that contradicts the verse in Surah Taha. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. Also, we learn from this verse that the magic cannot affect a person except by the leave of Allah, by the permission of Allah. And finally, the one question that's asked is, how can a person protect himself from being affected by the sihr? And the scholars, they say there's a number of things. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentions, by reciting Ayatul Kursi over a person, if he feels he's afraid he might have been affected by sihr, could be or could not be. It might be that he was really affected and it might not be. But he can recite Ayatul Kursi, which is a protection, and Al-Fatiha, to remove the sihr, and also the قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ and the مُعَوَّذَتَيْنِ, and also the ayahs that mention the sihr. Like they can, you can recite the verse, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. The person can read that on himself, or have a reciter who is very good in recitation, that can recite it on the person who's afflicted by the magic, and repeat this verse over him. Also the Shaykh, he mentions that a person can recite the Qur'an over water, over a bowl of water or a cup of water, and drink it. And this was also narrated on the early generations. And he can also use this water and wash with it. He can recite the Qur'an over the water and wash himself with it. And finally, he can have a person recite the Qur'an and then blow on him. And by the permission of Allah, the sihr will go away from him. He will not be affected by it, inshaAllah. So this will bring us to the end of the tafsir of these ayahs. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والله أعلم. Allah knows best. جزاكم الله خير. Are there any quick questions, inshallah? I think there are some cards here if anybody has. If not, there was a question from yesterday. Anybody have a question? Is there any cards? No? You have one question. Okay. I promised a brother yesterday, Brother Ahmed. Is he here today, Ahmed? Your son? Ahmed is here? Yeah. No, the little boy, he's not here, huh? Ahmed is a little boy, I think he's 5 years old. He asked a question yesterday. He said, can we look to the right and the left, or why can't we look to the right and the left during the salah? Why can't we look to the right and the left during the salah? And the Prophet ﷺ, he told the Sahaba not to look around in the salah. First, I'm very happy that Ahmed asked the question. He's a young boy, that he's participating in the classes with us, and may Allah reward him. The Prophet warned the Sahaba from looking up at the sky or looking around, because the Rahmah is coming towards a person when he's in Salah. And also, we shouldn't move around or look around too much during the prayer, because we're worshipping Allah, we're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Salah. And also, finally, you can look to your right and the left in the salah, but only at the end when you make the tasmih. So it's okay for him, inshallah, if he does that. All right. The sister, she says, if one does tricks with children that involve hiding something and bringing it out suddenly, is that considered kufr, or is it only kufr when one worships the jinn? Okay, yeah, the ulama, the majority of the ulama, they say that the kufr is by making ta'zeem to the jinn. The person, they use the jinn and they make ta'zeem to the jinn in order to get benefits from them, to use them. So just playing tricks or playing jokes and things like that, of course it shouldn't be something, it shouldn't be a lie. They shouldn't say, you know, tell a lie, I'm joking. But they can play and have fun. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to spurt water on Aisha. And he used to play with, you know, he used to do things like this to be kind to his wives. So that's okay. Also, the sister is asking, what is the ruling at looking at horoscopes? It's not allowed. It's haram, because looking at the believing the stars control our destiny. So that is not allowed, and we should stay away from that. The Prophet said, whoever went to a fortune teller, their prayer will not be accepted for 40 days. So the we have to stay away from that type of thing, inshallah, may Allah protect us. It's a very long question, inshallah. I don't know if I'll have time, we'll be able to read it all now. Okay, the next question here, The sister says that Fir'aun, or a brother perhaps, he said that Fir'aun, their sorcerers, they made snakes from the mercury, as some of the Mufassirin mentioned. And Musa's snake, it ate up all of his snake, of course, it ate up their snakes. To show that Musa wasn't doing black magic, he showed his white hand. Serpents were also worshipped by the Egyptians. So how does this go with the reason concerning his mercury? Allahu alam. Okay, we'll look into that question, inshallah. The sister, I guess he's asking, is that he showed his white hand. The scholars, they say that Musa alayhi salam, he had one of his miracles is that he showed his hand that it was white. So I guess they're saying this is a comment that it wasn't black magic because he had white on his hand. Allahu alam, I can look into that tafsir, inshallah. Last question. Please explain the sihr on the Prophet ﷺ was described in Surah Al-Falaq. Was it by the permission of Allah? If so, what was the logic? I think we talked about this a little bit, that in the Prophet ﷺ, he was cured from the sihr and he was informed by it. So he's human. The Prophet ﷺ is a human being. So just like an illness, did the Prophet become ill? He became ill. But Allah cured him when he made dua for that. So likewise, when a person he was affected, this is what I heard from one of the shuyukh. He said that he was affected by the magic showed that he was human. But that Allah cured him from it, and Jibreel sent Jibreel to him and cured him, shows that he was a Nabi, he was protected from it. So that was, inshallah, that question. And this is a long question, inshallah, maybe we can answer it tomorrow, inshallah. Inshallah, anything else? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, Jazakallah khair. The brother is asking that in the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ. Shayateen is the jama' of shaytan, the plural form. And the shaytan is any disbelieving, it's a disbelieving jinn, or even they can be the shayateen from the human beings, those that disbelieve. So any jinn that disbelieves, he's called a shaytan. So this is why we have the plural, shayateen. There's jinns that are believers. They're not the shayateen. But the shayateen are the disbelievers from the jinn. And also we're taught that there's shayateen from human beings. People that whisper for us to do evil and call us to do evil. So shaytan, Iblis, he's the head of the jinn. The head of the shayateen, Iblis. But shaytan, it just means any disbelieving jinn or the evil people from humankind, inshallah. Does that answer your question? Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Any last question? I hope we don't ask hard questions. This is a difficult subject, inshallah.
I'm really confused because what I'm concluding from what you're telling, explaining, is essentially there is nothing abnormal about this whole thing.
No, I didn't say that. I said that was one of the madhabs. That was Abu Bakr al-Razi and Mu'tazila. And that's the minority view. The majority of the ulama, the jumhur of the ulama, they say that sihr has a reality. It's real and it has an effect on people. It has a real effect on bodies.
There are people who can use some kind of power to inflict on other people.
Yeah, they commit kufr by praising the jinn and using the jinn to have the jinn to affect people and things like that.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Right. Now that's the majority, the jumhur of the ulama. I hope that's clear. The opinion that sihr is just words and things that affect the psychology, this is a minority opinion.
Harut and the angels, Harut and Marut, the angels who brought sihr to Paris, and some people abused it.
Right, the angels were sent to Babel to explain to them what sihr was, to tell them to stay away from it. Yeah, they explained. They showed them the different types of magic, for example, how people, they separate between husband and wife using the sihr, in order to warn them from following it, because they were people who were in the Sahara. They were following Sahara in that time.
The separation between husband and wife is not, because you mentioned it's just like an anemia.
That's one of the ways, but not the only thing that can be done. Allahu
Akbar. Because that's what I wanted to know. Because the anemia, it doesn't fall under Sahara.
No. That's one of the ways, but there's other ways that people do that. May Allah protect us.
Because my understanding from what I read is a lot of these
things. Right. That's the jumhur of the ulama, the vast majority of the ulama, that the sihr has a real effect on people. Any other questions? InshaAllah, jazakallahu khairan wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam. Jazakallahu khairan. I'll try to answer the long question tomorrow and the other question. Wa alaikum salam.
Oh, great. Yes, I did.